Thirsty Thursday. Indeed. What up?
We have Javier Jase, international man of mystery, Argentinian action figure, best damn cannabis journalist in the world.
Not true.
You got Elliot Lane, Benzinga person. We're here to bring you all your cannabis news.
Come on, host of Cannabis Daily. Are you not listening every day to Elliot Lane's Cannabis Daily podcast? You are missing out. Early in the morning, he posts all of the top cannabis news in 5 minutes. Listen while you drive to work, while you shower, while you brush your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, brush your teeth.
You know what, though? On that note, we're going to let you all sit on that. Aaron Thomas, get us started. Did you brush your teeth?
Yep. Does it take 5 minutes to brush your teeth? That's my question. Have you ever tried CBD toothpaste?
Oh, I'm trying to get a partner of mine, Zalira, to send some of their CBD toothpaste to our event.
That's what I tried, actually.
I'm trying to get them to send some to our event in Chicago. So if you all come to Chicago, we may have some CBD toothpaste there.
No, it's really good. It's really good. It gives you like a little bit of a sedative sensation. Nothing major. It's like a regular toothpaste. Just tastes very good. But very
good. Can you e-com that? Like, can we get some e-commerce, like CBD toothpaste? Can we order it offline from Zalira?
I'm sure. Like, why wouldn't they?
Would you all affiliate, like if you all found an affiliate link on Benzinga that led you to CBD toothpaste, would you click on that link and buy some? Legit survey question. Would you all do some product affiliate buys through Benzinga of CBD products, such as toothpaste? That is my question for the audience today. I'm going to say I would. Javi, would you?
I know. Yeah. Why I mean, right. Definitely.
What's up, y'all?
You stole my survey question. I wanted to play the guess what Elliot and Javi are drinking. I saw you were drinking something that was also mysterious.
The cup kind of gives it away.
Okay. So can you guess mine?
Peach iced tea.
No, almost.
Hold it up again. Cran apple juice, or white grape cranberry juice.
Apple kombucha.
Kombucha. You're such a hipster.
Very weird. Such a hipster thing.
All right, we got Jay Rice in the comments already. I mean, CGC, RIP. Yep. There have been a lot of things happening with that company this week.
Let's get into that specific news item. He's talking about Canopy Growth Corporation, CGC, on the New York Stock Exchange, weed on Canadian exchanges. It divested its fifth asset since April. They're going in this divestiture spree, right?
Worth noting, they were planning this at the end of their last fiscal year quarter.
Yeah,
like they're like, we're going to sell a bunch of crap.
I mean, there's a bunch of things to keep in mind here. One of it is they sold a facility in Modesto in California, which makes quite a bit of sense since Canopy isn't very active in the U.S.
No, it was the Owen Bennett note. Did you see that Monday or Tuesday? Owen Bennett from Jefferies came out with a note basically saying, listen, if the Canopy's core operations and core assets are just, they're terrible. But Canopy USA is worth holding on to. It is such a strong idea that if they can strive for that and continue their path toward that successfully, this makes this company very, very interesting to him.
Yeah. And they're halfway through the transformation already, right? Since April 1st, 2023, they sold five facilities for proceeds of around $81 million Canadian. And they want to get up to $150 million Canadian by the end of September of this year. So, you know, investors should be expecting more asset sales in the next few months, right? And several more.
Yeah, I agree. Y'all, don't be surprised about that. Jay, yes, their accountants quit. They lost their auditors, KPMG, replaced by PKF O'Connor Davies.
How do you know that? By heart.
Bro, we're in cannabis, man. You just read stuff, right?
Well, retain you are in cannabis. I might be on cannabis. No, I'm kidding.
Y'all, what product do you think Javi's on right now? Edible? Mm-hmm. Did he hit? Did he hit a Puffco bong?
Kombucha. Dude, I tried one of the best products I've ever tried, and honestly, like it's a piece of paraphernalia. It's called I forgot the name. It's called the Zenko.
The Zenko.
I'm gonna walk and grab it just for a second. It's a like a pipe for concentrates, but you kind of drink it like if it was a glass of a drink or something, right? So you put in the concentrate, it creates a vapor, and then you remove the little glass. I'm gonna review it sometime soon, but this is how it looks. You know, you get the concentrate in here, place this up here, and just wait it to heat up, and it fills all of this with the vapor, and then you take it off and you drink it.
It looks like a gas lantern that you carry around.
Totally. 100%.
In your creepy like 1800 gas lantern like ghost story. I feel like, you know, they could like do a parody of that, and then they just get high. Anyways, yeah, Jay Rice, back to CGC. Their accountants quit. I don't know. I've seen some different reports of that. You know, quit. You know, they changed course, whatever it may be. This is not the first time. That being said, Javi, do you read into that? Is that something you care about? You know, when you see auditors walk away or
Yeah. I mean, definitely worrying. At the same time, there's always a backstory to everything, right?
Right.
So there may be more than one. I have no idea why they walked out, if it was a mutual decision or not, right? It's like a breakup, right? Everyone will argue it was mutual, but one of them is usually walking out.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I just want to keep an open mind in regards to what we've seen. But all that said, I would say I think the biggest concern for me for CGC is the BioSteel aspect. You know, when it comes to, there was a $10 million over reporting in their revenues. So they had to like let go of the management team and or like restructure the team, you know, in order to get more transparent accounting from their like most valuable core asset.
I really wonder like how you make such big mistakes. And we've been seeing quite a bit of this in recent weeks, right? A few companies overstating their revenue, misstating their financials, some of them not including them in their press releases when their numbers are bad, right? It's not a great situation. It doesn't make us look great.
Yeah, I've seen some I will say, you know, that's kind of segues into another topic, which, you know, CGC is probably always a part of most of these topics. So we can always come back, Jay, if you have any other questions. But ATB Capital Markets, you see their note this morning and or late last night. They say that fundamentals still matter when it comes to Canadian cannabis company stock prices.
Says who? No.
What? I knew you would say that. All right. What? So.
No way.
So, yeah. No. Okay. Like, so basically,
I mean, they do matter. They should matter.
They should matter. But
do they really?
Do they? Okay. So they lay it out for you. Basically, the case they give, and they lay out like, hey, fundamentals probably don't matter across the whole market because S&P and the TSX Composite and Russell 2000 are up 2.2 and 4.8% year to date, respectively. HMMJ, which is the benchmark for Canadian stocks they use, ATB Capital Markets specifically uses, is down 28.6% year to date, right? So you see that and you're like, what the hell? What's the difference here, right? So things driving down the market include oversupply and price compression, lack of regulatory insight, stretched balance sheets, ton of other stuff. However, you look on the opposite end, best, and then this is where they start to look at, okay, you know, maybe what's driving down the market are actually crap balance sheets and you know, terrible reporting, right? And not great operations. So they bring up Decibel Cannabis, mm-hmm. a stock on the OTC, DBCCF, I believe. DBCCF is there. They're up 35% year to date. They have like 60-something% revenue growth year to date. Their balance sheet is doing great. They listed a few other stocks basically saying fundamentals matter when the companies are good. It's basically what ATB is saying. So an interesting note there, and kind of shots fired, but also saying you don't just have to look at the S&DLs, the VFFs, the ACBs, the CGCs to get a gauge on trading cannabis stocks. You're muted.
I'm muted, I realize. No, and it's like, it's totally fair too, right? It's a good analysis and it's very fair, right? Because we often just like issue these blanket statements about the state of the cannabis industry, about the state of cannabis stocks, because Tilray is up or down, because Canopy is up or down. But as the note says, like in reality, the market is much larger, right? And maybe some of the bigger names are not so much driven by hype, or the opposite of hype for some of these companies, but actual fundamentals. That is fair to say. I kind of agree with him now, right? In the sense that some of the smaller companies are better valued, you know, versus their actual numbers.
In the past, we look at them as exit targets, right? Is like, man, Decibel is going to get eaten up by Aurora or by Tilray or whoever.
You know, do they still have the money to buy?
That's what I'm saying. Is like, now I don't think we do. Yeah. I think we actually look at them as like, this is possibly a legitimate competitor for market share.
I mean, it is, but at the same time, I think like anyone with $150, $200 million can buy up Decibel without a lot of resistance.
I mean, I would not sell at this point. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But that said, I mean, M&A, I have heard that we'll see some trends pick up or M&A pick up some trends following that later this year, somewhat due to desperation that they need to sell some assets like we're seeing with Canopy, you know, some others that we may actually see some good deals come through. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But anyways, Javi, just wanted to get your reaction on that.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, right, like a trend that might be starting now, right? Just like we've seen many of the major Canadian operators list in big U.S. exchanges. Now TerrAscend said it is listing on the TSX up in Canada on July 4th. And this is the first American MSO to trade on the TSX, right, the Toronto Stock Exchange, which I think could be a signal of what might be a new trend, maybe.
There have also, though, with TerrAscend, they've had a series, I think, of positive press releases over the past week. They had some $25 million note from Stearns Bank, you know, that they were able to collect. I think they had an equity raise as well.
They raised money. They reduced expenses, transformed the balance sheet, lowered interest expenses. They're now cash flow positive.
You know, I don't generally rank C-suites. You know, I think each situation is somewhat different because every cannabis footprint is different. Your product suite's different. And there's so many different things that each company has to deal with. They may not be exactly alike, but Jason Wild's up there, man. When it comes to savvy CEOs, savvy people leading these companies, Jason Wild would be the one of the ones that I would pick to run mine.
100%. 800%. Some other news out of what I think is DC this time around. We finally have a cannabis-focused SPAC or super PAC, which is not the same as
SPAC. I was about to be like, those are different things, Javi.
This is a super PAC, a super political action committee, which I think is the most ridiculous name for anything ever. But super we PAC. Have a super PAC now. It's called, what was it called? Legalize America? Yeah, Legalize America. And they're, you know, they aim not only at reforming cannabis laws, but also expungement. They have support from operators like Curaleaf. Very interesting to keep an eye on, I think, right?
I guess. I'm tired, man. I just want to see some results.
Level zero.
Like, I mean, like I read something like this and I'm like, thank you. We need you all doing this. We need you all lobbying. We need you all active. But like at the end of the day, I'd rather see like a really strong unified voice there. You know, mm-hmm. we have like these different little lobbying arms and personalities at the end of the day is what they are. These personalities on DC that are pushing, you know, for different things for the cannabis industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do like the idea of a super PAC, seeing it like maybe that changes something. At the last Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in April in Miami, Representative Dean Phillips was actually talking a little bit about this, and he said, you know, it's, you know, lawmakers usually look at the issues that are being lobbied for, right, where they get the pressure. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right, as he said. So I think a more concerted effort and real money behind it might tilt the scale in some way, shape, or form. But at the same time, it's something we've been talking about for so many years. And actually, that is a great segue for the video that we had for today, right?
I agree.
Just looking, you know, sifting through the internet a little bit, I found this interview of Obama 80 years ago with Vice News. And he was talking about things that might happen and his views on drug policy. And it's the exact same issue 80 years later. Let's watch it.
I'd separate out the issue of the criminalization of marijuana from encouraging its use. I think there is no doubt that our criminal justice system generally is so heavily skewed towards cracking down on nonviolent drug offenders mm-hmm. that it has not just had a terrible effect on many communities, particularly communities of color, rendering a lot of folks unemployable because they got felony records, disproportionate prison sentences. It costs a huge amount of money to states, and a lot of states are starting to figure that out. But what I'm encouraged by is you're starting to see not just liberal Democrats, but also some very conservative Republicans recognize this doesn't make sense, including sort of the libertarian wing of the Republican Party.
They see the money.
And they see the money and how costly it is to incarcerate. So we may actually be able to make some progress on the decriminalization side. At a certain point, if enough states end up decriminalizing, then Congress may then, you know, reschedule marijuana. Mm. But I always say to folks, you know, legalization or decriminalization is not a panacea. Do you feel the same way about meth? Mm-hmm. Do we feel the same way about coke? How about crack? How about heroin? And there is a legitimate, I think, concern about the overall effects this has on society and particularly vulnerable parts of our society. Substance abuse generally, legal and illegal substances, is a problem. Locking somebody up for 20 years is probably not the best strategy. And that's something that we have to rethink as a society as a whole.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, man. But this interview could have easily happened last week.
It could happen today.
That would be exactly the same, right? It's like we...
But at the end of the day, he kind of, listen, like that we're not political here. I mean, Javi is. I try not to be political here. But at the end of the day, you know, there are things about that interview where, you know, you ask, why didn't, you know, he create more decrim efforts on his side? Like, you know, Biden did sign that. Biden took it a step further than President Obama did. So there is that. But at the same time, you know, he actually said it right after that. If enough states decriminalize, then Congress may do something.
But we've seen like 8 years later, 23 states moved to legalize sins for you know, some kind of use. Like, this is like,
I think you look at this two ways, in my opinion. This video, you have two different perspectives here. You can A, look at it at the politician, at what the politician, his views are and why he's saying this, and B, you look at the issues, right? And they're common sense issues, what he's saying, right? You know, A, you can go back and be like, well, why didn't you do this? What's going on here? Why haven't we still done anything to move this forward? But man, it's so crazy how we're talking about this 8 years later, dude. This interview took place before I was even in the cannabis industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's insane. And you know, I'm maybe we can bring up this other video, the one where Dean Phillips recognizes that they haven't made the legalization their highest priority, right? So time goes by, and everything we predicted around policy and cannabis, what needed to happen for cannabis to be either decriminalized or fully legalized, all these things have happened. And yet we haven't seen the movement we expected, right? That is what baffles me, right?
Well, and because also
what makes me very not what is it? I'm looking for
the end
for
of the day, you gotta follow the money.
Yeah. I really like when people say the same things nowadays, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Let's like I wanna see the proof is in the pudding at this point, right?
I don't know. At the end of the day, I think you have to follow the money. And you know, he hinted at it there, you know, but I don't know if politicians are necessarily following the money. But what I mean by that is the right bills have to lead for anything to happen. SAFE allows companies to do different things with their money, allows them to put it away, allows other institutions to get into the space, right? There's certain mm-hmm. things that SAFE allows that this industry needs. Is it a game changer per se in how these people run their businesses? No, it's not. You know, is it a game changer in terms of how much money and capital could flow in and out of this industry? I think it improves that for sure.
Oh yeah, a lot.
Right, but you know, you need to couple that with you know, tax relief at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, maybe here's a sequence of things, right? Imagine SAFE passes. Well, then institutional investors and big institutional investors will start to jump into cannabis. This is what we think will happen, right? That will mean that cannabis companies will be better capitalized and will be able to invest more money into lobbying, which would then, we'd assume, drive legalization forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think full legalization is far away. I think it's pretty damn far away. But at the end of the day, we can still have more efficiently and easy to run businesses. It's never going to be easy to run a cannabis business, but it can be easier.
Now, here's some good news on the state level. Starting next week, starting July 1st, people in Connecticut will be
Saturday,
allowed.
Bro.
What? Yeah.
Starting Saturday. Okay. 2 days. Sorry, keep going.
2 days. That if July 1st, people in Connecticut, 21 and over, can grow cannabis at home with a maximum of 12 plants per household. But adults can grow up to 3 mature and 3 immature plants with a maximum of 12 per household. So that means that if there's more than one adult, the number doubles, right? But there's still a limit, right? You can't argue, hey, I live with 5 friends. I'm allowed to have 15 plants. You're only allowed to have 12, notwithstanding. But good stuff. Good stuff. At the same time, I always wonder why the hell is it not allowed to grow cannabis at home in states where it's where cannabis is allowed, right?
Like, I guess they still have to have like, what is the appropriate amount to be like a licensed provider of cannabis, right?
Well, this is not for sale, right? Like that is important to point out, right? People growing at home should not be selling their cannabis. It's not legal.
Agreed. That is, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know then. I mean, I would imagine like that maybe it's just draconian laws because they had to have that limit at some point, you know, the limit to hit a felony, the limit to hit certain things, hit the intent to distribute, right? You know, so maybe it's still like grandfathered in from those laws.
It is. It is. But honestly, it's a ridiculous concern. Who like how much weed are 12 plants producing, right? Like, Is it significant enough?
Mountains of weed.
Mountains of weed.
Mountains of weed.
Javi,
yeah, we got 3 minutes, bro.
Zelensky confirmed his support for legalizing medical marijuana in the U.S. Go to Menzinga.com/cannabis after the show and find out why Zelensky thinks Ukraine should legalize medical marijuana.
Then do it. That's what I have to say to these politicians now. Just do it, like Shia LaBeouf style.
Politics are complex, right? Whenever people say, you know, Obama or Biden should legalize, it's not up to him, right?
It's not.
It's there are certain countries who have more like hyper-presidential regimes. Right?
You could prioritize it better. To be fair, Obama and Biden both could have. Biden did more than any president in the history. That being said, did he go far enough? I would argue no, right? You know, but I think we'll see this year, right? You know, I think we're going to see the Health and Human Services move this year. You know, that's what everybody's saying. So,
and I have one last one to close it up here. Elliot, can you guess which state in the U.S. is getting the most capital for cannabis? The most capital invested into the cannabis industry.
So I know the answer to this, but I'll tell you what I would have guessed if I didn't know the answer to this. I would have guessed Missouri.
Really?
Yes, I would have guessed Missouri. I know I'm incorrect.
I would have guessed New York, but New York is only number two.
Garbage.
According
state.
To data out of our very good friends at Viridian Capital Advisors, Illinois has raked in the most money for cannabis businesses in the last 12 months, an astounding $454 million in 1 year. Insane.
Awesome. Yeah.
Close runner-up, New York, with almost $410 million in the last 12 months. What also surprised me a little bit was that, you know, the third spot was taken by California with $308 million, so $100 million less than New York. Very big difference. However, it had the most deals with 28 investment deals in the last 12 months. What this tells me is people are still betting a lot on California, just cutting smaller checks, right? In Illinois, New York, people go like, okay, you know, here's $50 million for this. Here's $100 million for that. In California, maybe they're getting $1, $2, $5, $10 million for retail.
At the end of the day, they need more dispensaries in California. They still have so many of the population they can't reach with storefronts. But, you know, all that said, like, it's still the largest cannabis economy in the world. And one of the, I think, a top 10 economy as a state in the world as well. And just overall. So, I mean, you can't ignore California.
You can't ignore California, but one thing is clear as well, and is you can't ignore Illinois. It's hard to ignore California. If you read the newspapers around the world, everyone talks about California weed, California style legalization. People are not talking about Illinois enough. You know what? We'll be discussing a bunch of topics around Illinois at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. Coming to Illinois, Chicago, September 27 and 28, bccannabis.com. For more information, come join us. We'll be talking about all these topics and many, many, many more on how to thrive in this market that is often called, well, Chicago, right? It's often called the Silicon Valley of cannabis. So step aside, California.
Ha, bye. All right, y'all, that's it for today. Keep an eye on CGC throughout the week. HMMJ is another one for you, the Horizons marijuana ETF there. But as always, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 Eastern time for Javi and I as we touch base with tons of executives in the space, hear from them, their perspectives. We will continue that on Tuesday with another great interview. Javi, last words to you, you damn good journalist, you.
No, just shout outs to our beautiful, loyal audience, Quantum, Sean Allen, Nicholas J. Rice, Anthony Freed. Timothy Hightower. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to stop there. You know, Heath Koresh. Great names. Timothy Hightower Sr. is a fantastic name.
It's very Lord Timothy Hightower.
I love it.
If you're still watching.
I will keep reading to that.
Yeah. Anyways, y'all, we're out. We'll see you again tomorrow morning for Cannabis Daily. Every day, cannabis, benzinga.com/cannabis for all your written news throughout the day. Get the app. We have a whole cannabis news feed. And we'll see you again next Tuesday for our next interview. Until then, you all have a great, great, great rest of your week. Peace.